Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Father, I ask you to anoint your word and everyone that hears it. May your word bring such encouragement to us today. And I pray that our focus will again be put on the reason for the season, and that is Jesus. So we thank you in advance for your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I want to welcome those who are watching online through our Facebook page. I know you are joining us from wherever you are, and you will enjoy the Word of God today. Christmas is about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. And so as we venture into this month, we are beginning a series today entitled Jesus, Our Hope. Jesus, Our Hope. I want you to take a moment and think about that word hope. Hope is such a powerful word. Hope is such an important aspect in life. In fact, there's a gentleman called Viktor Frankl who was an Austrian psychiatrist, and he was succeeding in his career, and one time he found himself in one of the Nazi concentration camps. And if you know anything about those concentration camps, they were really death camps. When you went there, you didn't have any hope of coming out alive. In fact, it was you waiting to die. And many prisoners died in there due to maltreatment, disease, starvation. Some died due to overwork. And in case you are not even able to work, you are executed. That's how bad these concentration camps were. And anybody who was considered undesirable or who had different ideologies from the Hitler regime ended up in these concentration camps. People were put in box cars for days or even weeks with little or no food or water. And many died of dehydration during the summer days when it was hot. And many died in winter due to the cold weather, and they were frozen to death. When you went in there, it was a situation of no hope. But Viktor Frankl survived the concentration camps. And he says something that enabled him and others as a psychiatrist while he was there that helped them survive. He said that the most important factor for him was in cultivating a kind of inner hold that allowed men to survive. He was teaching them to hold in the mind's grip some future goal, a hope that one day they would be out. That was the only way he survived. He quotes from a friend who once said, "He who has a why to live for can bear with almost any how." Hope speaks of something beautiful coming in the future. And now Viktor Frankl talks about hope from a very human point of view. But the hope I'm talking about today is a sure hope. His name is Jesus. He's the reason for Christmas. So at Christmas time, as we celebrate Jesus' birthday, we are saying happy birthday, Jesus. But we are also saying happy birthday, hope for the world. Jesus, our hope. Hope is a powerful thing. It's that confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. But in a biblical sense, hope is living every day with a trust and a confidence in this God of hope. And it comes through Jesus, our hope. Without hope, life makes no sense. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's the impact of not having hope. Gives you heart disease. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. The Passion Translation says it this way. When hope's dream seems to drag on and on, the delay can be depressing. Maybe as the year comes to an end, you had certain hopes at the beginning of the year, a promotion, or you thought maybe you'd start a business. You had some hopes that were captured in what people commonly refer to as New Year's resolutions. Maybe you were hoping 2019 is my year to get married and 2019 is coming to an end. And that hope seems to have dragged on. And it can almost feel like it's depressing right now. And says, but when at last your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul. Jesus, our hope, will never fail us. That's why we celebrate this Christmas. Because Jesus, our hope, was born. And today I want to focus more on Jesus, our hope for salvation. For salvation from sin. You see, at the time of Jesus' birth, the Jews were not celebrating like we celebrate today. In fact, for them, it was a very difficult, dark moment in the history of the nation of Israel. God had made a covenant with the Jewish people, the children of Israel, that he would bless them. And indeed, he blessed them. They were such an enviable nation. But when they sinned and disobeyed God, they ended up being captives in foreign lands. And in fact, God allowed other nations to come and live in their land and oppress them in their own land. First there were the Medes, and then the Persians, and then the Greeks. And at the time when Jesus was born, it was the Romans who were in charge. And the Romans were ruthless leaders. They levied heavy taxes on already oppressed Jewish people. So it was a very dark moment in the time that Jesus was born. Israel had become a shadow of who they were called to be. They were meant to be a light to the nations. But now, they were living in darkness. Difficulty. But still, the Jewish people had hope that one day God would send a Savior. God would send a Messiah. And that hope was based on God's promises that they would read from the Old Testament. Like the one in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, which said that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a great light has dawned. They knew that one day that darkness will come to an end. Hope says, weeping may endure for a night, but the morning is going to come and joy is going to come. Darkness may be all around us, but the light will soon come. When they read such scriptures, it continued to give them hope that one day God would send a Messiah. And in the same chapter, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah 9 says, for to us, here's the hope that comes. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And that son is Jesus, our hope. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And he says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You can count on God's word. And they would read this and would wait for the Messiah to come. In fact, the angel re-emphasized this to Mary, who would carry Jesus in her womb, and she gave exactly the purpose for which Jesus would come. The angel said to Mary that she will give birth to a son, and she was to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, it's important for you to recognize that for the Jewish people who are going through oppression, they were expecting their Messiah and their Savior to come as a political savior, to remove every form of Roman rule over them. They were hoping as they were going through difficult economic and social, massive social problems, they were hoping that when the Savior comes, he would turn around the economic situation and they would become again the light to the nations and the blessed nation that they were. But the angel said, no, Jesus is coming to save his people from their sins. Why was God focused on sin? Because you see, the problems we're experiencing were not political problems or economic problems, much as those were the things around them. The real issue was a spiritual issue. It was a sin problem. They had turned their backs on God and ended up where they were in oppression. Because friends, sin carries with it consequences. And sin continues to impact our world today. We struggle with this issue of sin. Sin is a condition of the human heart and mind and will and affections that is naturally rebellious to God. We are born in sin. And then sin begins to act out in human activity like corruption and adultery and dictatorship, child sacrifice, war and all kinds of sexual problems, drug abuse, lawlessness, name it. It is still sin that is impacting our world today. And my friends, I need to say this, we are all guilty of sin. In fact, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, first, we are liars, but we also make God a liar. We are all guilty of sin. So, Pastor, really? Yes, I'm a pastor, but I'm a human being. And I struggle with sin every day. I love what the Apostle Paul describes this state of sin. And he was writing to the Romans, and the Jewish people those days used to feel like they were above and they were better than the other non-Jewish nations. And so for them, they based on the fact that Jesus, as a Jew, they were connected to him, and so they were not like any other. And Paul reminds them, this is not about race. This is about the condition and status of mankind. And he says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18, he says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. He was trying to reemphasize that we are all guilty of sin. He says, all have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. Anybody here who can say they've never told a lie? No hand has got up. So this message is really important for all of us. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There's no fear of God before their eyes. He's describing the state of humankind. And in verse 23, he reveals this powerful truth. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. J. John, who's an evangelist from England, once translated what Jeremiah 17:9 says, and he says, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Jeremiah says it this way, 17:9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and it is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Only we know the selfishness that we carry in our hearts. Only we know the envy and the jealousy and the pride that is inside of our hearts. All our problems stem from our sinful hearts. And sin has consequences. The bad news is this. Even though we are aware of that, we cannot save ourselves. We need a savior. Political leaders can never save us from sin. They may walk against corruption, that is good, but they can't deal with the corruption of the heart. Economists can't bring a solution to sin problems by providing more money. Being more religious can never deal with the sin issue. It's great to come to church, great to give to God, great to do good works, but none of that can deal with the sin issue we are caught up in. Acquiring more knowledge and degrees in the university will never deal with sin problems. Having more prisons to put people who break the law can never solve the heart issue of sin. And so that is the bad news. But here's the good news why we celebrate Christmas. The good news is that Jesus, who was born on Christmas Day, is our only hope for salvation from sin. And that's why we celebrate. That's why there's lights everywhere. The city changes because we are celebrating Jesus, our hope. And he's our hope for salvation from sin. So how does Jesus actually save us from sin? Have you ever thought about that? How does Jesus actually save his people from sin? I'm going to give you three ways he does it. Number one, Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the penalty of our sins. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sin's consequence is death. Bible says the soul that sins shall surely die. And Jesus, who was born at Christmas Day, his birth that we celebrate at Christmas time, he was actually born so he could die and pay the penalty for our sin. John the Baptist made this mention of Jesus in John 1:29. He saw Jesus coming and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He referred to Jesus as the Lamb because in the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed. Animals paid the price for sin. But that only appeased God for a temporary period. And when Jesus came, John saw and said, "There is now the perfect Lamb of God who was going to pay the penalty for our sin by dying once for all so that you and I don't have to pay the penalty for our sin." Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. If you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what you have said, you've not accepted the penalty that he paid by dying on the cross for our sin. And once you reject that offer of him paying the penalty, the Bible is very clear. The wages of sin is death. That penalty will be paid. And you end up paying that penalty by being eternally separated from God. Jesus was born as our hope for salvation so that you don't have to pay that penalty. He paid that penalty so you and I could be saved. Jesus, our hope for salvation. Secondly, Jesus saves us from the power of sin. First, he saves us from the penalty of sin, but he also saves us from the power of sin. I want to say we struggle with sin every day. And sin manifests itself in various forms. It can come through guilt and shame because of what we did in the past. We still carry the guilt. We still carry the shame. We still carry that rejection, because that's how sin is impactful. Sin is powerful. Sin sometimes causes us to be caught up in a cycle of habits that we keep doing on, and they just keep messing us up. We call it addiction, or we call it a bondage. And Paul talks about this situation of life, and it's a reality for all of us. Paul says, he describes it in Romans 7. He says, I have found there's another law that seems to be working in my life. And he called it the law of sin. Because he says, I know what the right thing is to do, but I end up doing the wrong thing. I know the things that God really loves, but I end up doing the very things I hate. And he says, I found something at work in my life. I feel powerless because I know the good stuff to do, but I'm doing the bad ones. And he says, oh, what a wretched man I am. But it doesn't end there. He says, thanks be to God who sent Jesus, our hope, who delivers us from this law of sin in our lives. And he gives us the power over sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 7, are describing the spiritual implication of baptism. Paul says, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we will also certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Wow. Paul is giving us assurance and hope that Jesus can give us the power over sin. Are you struggling to overcome an addiction, a cycle of sin in your life? Jesus was nailed to the cross, so he could not only just pay the penalty for our sin, but also he would save us from the power of sin's dominion in our lives. So Jesus, our hope for salvation, wants to give us power over sin every day in our lives. And I know as I speak even now, you know the struggle that you have with whatever sin it is. Might be in your thoughts, in your minds. Here's what Hebrews 4:15 says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus totally understands the temptations we go through, the struggles we go through. And then he offers a solution here in Hebrews, verse 16, he says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. Whenever you fail, there is mercy, there is forgiveness at the throne of God. And then he says, but we shall also find grace to help us in our time of need. Grace empowers us to say no to sin. Mercy says, when you have failed, Jesus, our hope, will forgive. But not only does he forgive us, he says, my grace is sufficient to enable you to live a life that pleases God. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled lives, to live upright and godly lives in this present age. Have you ever wondered, can I really live in this world today in a way that I please God? Can I survive in my workplace that is full of corruption? Can I live in a society that is so dark, yet I live in a way that pleases God? Yes, you can, for the grace of God has appeared to all men through Jesus, our hope, and he will teach us to live a life that pleases him. And he continues to say, while we wait for that blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin by dying on the cross for us. He saves us from the power of sin by offering mercy and forgiveness to us, but by offering his grace that is sufficient, that enables us to live a life that pleases him. But finally, this is how Jesus saves us. Jesus, our hope of salvation. He saves us eventually from the presence of sin. There is coming a day when sin will no longer be an issue for those of us who love Jesus. There is coming a day when this body that is full of passions that are against God and all kinds of evil, this body will be replaced with an incorruptible body. There is coming a day when God himself is going to dwell with mankind, because mankind will be totally free from the impact of sin in our lives. This is how John describes it in the book of Revelation 21 verses 1 to 5. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Then he says, I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Sin causes pain, but there will be no more pain. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne says, I am making everything brand new. Come on! One day we will be saved from the presence of sin forever. And it comes through Jesus, our hope for salvation. He saves us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the power of sin. And one day, he will save us from the presence of sin. Amen. As I conclude, I want to say this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us a professor to educate us. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was sin, we needed forgiveness. God sent us a savior. His name is Jesus, who we celebrate at Christmas time. Amen. Jesus, our hope for salvation.
Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.